is because there's a minyan called nittel. Nittel, we spent time on this last year, I believe, maybe the year before, is that there is a tradition that the night of their holiday, December 25th, Chatzis Laila, not to learn Torah. You don't learn Torah. You're not supposed to learn. Now, this is a minhag. There's a lot of questions. How could it possibly be? V'higitzin bo yoyim v'layla. Is there a time in the day when you do not spend time learning? You don't learn day and night? How are you talking? Could there be such a thing when you're not going to learn? This is a chassidish minhag. So some say the minhag is based upon a matter of practicalities, that the goyim, they came back from church, they were drunk. They were drunk, and they come all riled up. Who's the one who has assassinated, who has killed, executed our God? It's the Jews! And they'll see Jews learning in the Beis Medrash, the Bodekin Yosios, they'll see Jews learning at home. It's mamish, nothing more than pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh. Pa'amin shebitula zehu kiyuva. This is a takana, not to learn chatzos laila, not to learn because of the sakana. Pshuta kera simple. Bisman hazeh, baruch Hashem, chasdei Hashem, we don't have the sakana. So bisman hazeh, this is not an issue. So baruch Hashem, this minig has fallen away. This minig never took hold in place in the world where there would never was a sakana to begin with. And therefore, many people say that this is ridiculous, and today there's no such thing as a minig not to learn. Other people will say, no, minig I was saying the Yodenu, it represents a concept, you should recognize it. They're very, very deep ideas, is that you should recognize sakana, you have to have a few moments of silence to pay attention, that pamim shebitula zehu kiyuma. Okay, some will tell you, either this is off the chart, it's Kabbalah, that when you learn at this moment in time, you're giving benefit to his neshama. I have no idea what that means. Absolutely no clue to understand what that means. And if you're going to learn, a guy like me, who can barely concentrate for 10 seconds, is going to go learn at night, the night after night of December 20, the night before December 25th, you're going to give benefit to his neshama. I have no clue. But listen, if this is not, you don't have to have, we have to respect. If this is the Kabbalah, this is the Kabbalah. It is what it is. Okay, so different reasons. So what do you do? If you're not going to learn, whatever the reason, what are you going to do? You're going to say, Yoshe Batel, what are you going to do?
You may not.
So there's a minhag by Chabad, a very nice minhag, very beautiful minhag. They play chess. No, it's not serious. You go online, there are some beautiful pictures of you can find.
It's not only Chabad.
Oh, not Chabad, okay. Other groups who have this custom, they play chess. They play chess for a few minutes. they don't have tournaments and sit the whole night. What? Whatever it is, they have a picture, I think, of the Rebbe and maybe of his father-in-law. They are playing chess. A very nice minute. And if you want, see this Amvachaita here. My phone is going off.
You mean at home they cannot learn Torah?
My phone going off? What?
At home they cannot learn Torah.
At home what?
At home.
At home, no, you know not to learn Torah, period. No, not even at home. Not even b'chedrei chadarim. Yeah. No learning. Nothing. If you're going to learn, you're going to give pleasure to the neshama of Yeshu HaNotzri, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. Okay, so therefore you're not supposed to learn. I never heard of this minhag until maybe a couple of years ago. But it seems that this is tradition, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe and his father-in-law used to play chess, and there's a beautiful picture of them playing chess. You can find it online. And the fact Chabad in 770, they have you go online, they show the whole Beis Medrash packed. Whole Beis Medrash filled with all the Hasidim playing chess on the eve of December 25th. So this is a very curious thing. What is chess? Manze. What is chess? What is this game? Is it Jewish? My earliest memory, my mother taught me how to play chess. And I remember my mother was like probably of course like today would cost 99 cents, it's a chess set. And I remember it was my mother, my father, he took it, look at Salem. I'm the king. The king has a Salem. Shasi ve'erev. Broke it off. You broke it off. Okay, on a 99 cent chess game, set of chess, okay, you break off the symbol. Let's say you have a person that has a collector's edition. A collector's edition costs $50,000 chess set, and you want to display on your break front and has it Salem. So there's a halachic shaila. Is that called avodah zarah? Are you allowed to have in your possession a chasset that has a tzelem? How bichlal did the Lubavitcher Rebbe go play a game where the king is the represents the church, the Catholic, the king, whatever it is? So what's going on over here? So that is a halachic question. Now, first of all, we have to understand, where did chess come from? Who invented chess? Now, we know, what we do know is, as a fact, is that the game of chess, not going to tell you the legends, but we do know is that the earliest records that we have of chess is from the sixth century in India. That's where it came from.
Iran?
India. No, it came to Persia later. It came to Iran, and I think later in 8, 9, there's a whole line up here how it traveled across the world. But the earliest record is, it really comes from India. They have nothing to do with Yashka, with Catholicism, and all of this. It has nothing, therefore, the fact that we have over here at Salem on the king, L'cha'ira, is not Avodah Zarah. This has nothing, this is something which they've hijacked, which the Christians have succeeded somehow in taking this game and associating it with their religion and putting its Salem on it and naming one of the pieces the bishop. In fact, many Paiskim ask a very good question. Okay, very good. You take off the Salem. But what about the bishop?
What about the knight?
What about the knight is not an avodah zarah? That is not a religious.
The knights came from the
knights are religious. There's a religious nature to a knight, and I don't think the knights were religious people. The knights were just a bunch of hoodlums.
You're thinking of the Knights Templar, maybe, but that's
the knights were just
Were they involved in the Crusades?
Yeah, they were conscripted. They were that they wanted to give because they were a threat to the church. These were hoodlums. They were hoodlums that they didn't know what to do with. So they said, "Oh, we'll give you a mission. We'll make you into something." But the knights, no one talks about the knights, but they do discuss the bishop. Everyone is so machbit to go and to damage the king, to take off the tzelem. What about the bishop? The bishop, bishop is a bishop. I mean, you know that every church has a bishop. So how come that's not
bishop?
What?
In Yiddish, you call him a loifer.
A loifer?
Yeah, runner.
A run, that's they call that piece on the set?
Yeah,
called the bishop. Haloi Davar. So the king, and the king will go by the Jewish, I'm sure you can go find in Eichler's, I have no doubt. You go to Eichler's, you can find the Jewish version of chess, which has the Magen David. Or, I don't know what Sagna puts on top. They must put something else on top of the Magen David. But you'll find, I don't know, the Tzioni version. A Strymel, very good. The Strymel version of chess. But how come no one says boo about the bishop? What about the bishop? The bishop is the religious leader. He represents, you know, the church. I don't know. So they say the bishop really, if you study chess, the bishop was really a ship. It was either a ship or it was an elephant. It was either a ship or where it comes from. A ship or an elephant. And if you study, the more you study about chess, the more you're going to be surprised to learn that the rules have changed quite a bit. Okay, the rules have changed. A queen can do now anything. You know why? Because it's the modern world. Women, they have unlimited rights. Right? Feminism. That's not the queen of the olden days. The queen of the olden days was either exact, the real rules were exact like the king, only one move, just like the king, or at most can move three steps ahead, three squares. You can't go move more than three squares. Things have changed. The rules somehow have changed. One of the earliest records of the rules of chess come from the Ibn Ezra. Okay, the Ibn Ezra is a very colorful person. We associate him with his parish on Nach. But Ibn Ezra was a very worldly person. He wrote a lot of poems that were very secular. Very secular. He wrote a poem about chess. He was... What? Mm-hmm. Could be, well, that point, it's not really clear at what point in time about the rules of chess. And he actually writes a poem. And in his poem, he actually mentions all the rules. And the rules of chess of his game were are very different than the rules of chess that we have today. Before we go further, let's discuss halacha. According to halacha, basically, since we know for a fact that chess is not originally a game that came from the Christians, it is a game that originated in India, and it was hijacked by the Christians. It's not when you're playing chess, you're not coming, you're not giving, paying homage to the Christians. So it's, that's not, and so they, there's a cross. There's no problem. Just take off the cross. It doesn't mean anything. Take off. If you, let's say you don't want to take off the cross, it's not necessarily usher. And certainly the Paiskim said that if you're in the business of selling chess games and you have to have the cross because that's the way it is, or if you have an antique, you're dealing in collecting.
Julius.
So almost, come on, all the Paiskim say that this is not in the case, even though we talk, many hold that at Salem, Shesi, it was Mamesh Navodazar, according to some opinions, but now when it's on the top of a chess piece, there are so many leniencies even not to take it off. And certainly to play, this is something which has come about new. And just to keep in mind that why the cross more than the bishop? The king is the king. So you take off the cross, okay, so the king is not wearing a cross on top. But every time you say the bishop, you're giving a zecher to Christianity. And that no one says boo. That no one says boo. The bishop is the way it is. So how are you talking? Obviously, it doesn't mean anything. Rashi seems to mention chess. It's a controversial thing. Rashi, the Gemara in Masechta Ksubos, talks about that a woman has an obligation to do for her husband a whole series of things, a whole list of requirements. Let's say she's a wealthy woman and she brings into the marriage servants. So then the Gemara says, so she doesn't have to do things, but she has to do something, because if she does absolutely nothing, that will lead to problems. You cannot be Yoshe Bottle. And the Gemara says she should play dice. Playing dice doesn't mean wooden boxes. Dice, Rashi says, doesn't mean dice. It means a game of chokhmah, chess, balas. Rashi quotes chess. So it seems that Rashi, so everyone said Rashi lived in the 11th century, was very familiar with chess. Definitely existed. There's no question about it. And Rashi seems to actually quote that. That's what the Gemara means. Can it be? That's what the Gemara means. The Gemara was written in the 5th century. The Gemara was written in the 4th century, the 3rd century, Masora. Ravina of Ashi knew about chess. Maybe they did, but we don't know about it until the 6th century after the Chasimus HaTalmud. So when Rashi writes about chess, does Rashi mean to say that? Rashi seems to say it was Pshat in the Gemara. And the Gemara was talking about chess. Can it really be Rashi refers to chess as we know it? This is a very big mystery. It's a mystery. I remember the Gemara Masechet Ksubos. The Gemara talks about things which look like blocks of wood on a board, and it's a game of chokhmah which keeps your mind sharp. And a woman who has nothing to do should at least engage in this activity to keep her mind occupied, not do nothing. And Rashi says this is chess. What are you talking about? Maybe Rashi himself knew about chess, but it couldn't be that they knew about chess when the Gemara was written by Rabbi Rav Ashi, 500 years before. This is something which is a very fascinating topic of discussion amongst the Paiskim. Now, interesting, in the year 1711, there was a terrible fire in Germany, in Frankfurt, and a terrible fire, and the whole city burned down, it seems. And the Rabbanon made a takana. So it's amazing. You would think, say, Rahman al-Sanad is a tsara. The Rabbanon will make a takana. What will they tell you? Make a takana. They'll tell you, by chasnas, you're only allowed to have more than 3 musicians. They'll tell you this, they'll tell you that. Who knows? You can come up with 20 things what the Rabbanon would do. Rahman al-Sanad, if Rabbanon would want to make a takana, is what we should do in order to focus on tragedy. You know the takana was in Germany? This is mine, I'm sorry. Is it mine?
No.
The Rabbanon made takonis. The Rabbanon made takonis. And what was the takon the Rabbanon made? You wouldn't believe this. For the next 14 years, no one is allowed to play chess. Isn't that amazing? There's an ace sara, it's a fire, a whole city was wiped out, everyone lost their property, I'm sure people must have died, and the way that we should focus on the tragedy, don't play Scrabble. Okay, don't play Monopoly. That's the equivalent today. No chess. Very interesting. Chess was such a big thing, which gave people pleasure. They made a takana not to play chess. It seems that during different kufas in history, chess was played for money. It was a big gambling. Like people play cards, they have poker, and they go to Atlantic City for money. Chess was only played for money, and there was a rule that anyone who plays chess is posel la'edus. possible because it was gambling. It was mamish. Chess was associated with gambling. Today it's not, so it's ridiculous. No one's possible is because they play chess. But you have to understand that when it evolved, it went through many different tikkufas. Is it appropriate? They also, it seems like the olden days, another thing, the old tshuvas is that the chess games were on these glass. It made a lot of noise. When you would move your pieces on the, I don't understand what this means. It made a lot of noise. So there was a Shiloh, you're making musical noise on Shabbos. If it's appropriate to play chess on Shabbos when you're going to be making so much noise by moving the chess pieces. Obviously that's not true today. So these are not issues. Okay, it is something which definitely takes up.
They cannot play chess?
It takes up a lot of time. And on Shabbos, obviously, a person has to have balance between enjoyment, oinig, and not wasting the whole day Shabbos on mundane matters. In Sefer HaChassidim, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, the same one that gives us this long list of things what a person should not do, don't marry a woman who has the same name as your mother, and the chulu, and don't chop down a tree, a fruit tree, even if it's a loss of money, even though all the heterim. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says, with all the time in the world, you should still never cut down a fruit tree. Never ever do that. Right? So the same Rabbi Nachman encourages man to play chess. You have not lived your life unless you know how to play a good game of chess. You have to play chess. Why? He says, because he quotes Ibn Ezra. The holy Ibn Ezra went out of his way to make a poem about chess. Obviously, there's something to it. There's a chokhmah. There's tremendous, tremendous chokhmah in chess. Awesome chokhmah in chess. Look, when they always talk about computers, it's always the big question of computers was, can a human being beat a computer in chess? It's not anymore. Today it's a joke, right? Not anymore, but it's not so simple even that. But that was like the big thing, the big test. When computers, the big litmus test of where artificial intelligence, the limit of artificial intelligence was, think about this, it, an amazing thing. When computers entered into the world of artificial intelligence was the moment when the computer was able to beat man in chess. Until that point, even with all the greatest chokhmah of the computer, I can beat the computer in chess. Because there's a koyach in chess, it brings out the spitz of human intelligence. It's a very fascinating thing of what chess is.
The computer can't beat a good...
What?
It can't beat humans in bridge.
In bridge? It cannot beat them. Okay, interesting. The chess represents a tremendous chokhmah. Now, all I can say about chess, to me, I'm just telling you my two cents. Okay, my two cents about chess. I love chess. Today, you're online, you have a smartphone. I used to do this until I realized this was wasting way too much time. Is every so often now, you go online, they have a million apps so you can play people all over the world. All over the world at any moment in time, you can go and you can play a good game of chess. Here and there, but as far as the what I always lost, always lost, no match.
Wait, it's called chess.
No match. But as far as I can tell you, this is my two cents, my ha'oros on chess. Chess, the game of chess, appears to be keneged kol ha'toyra. I'm talking about the not the game. The game is gvalda. I'm talking about what's going on in this game. It's connected, call HaTorah Kula. Why? The king is such a Nebuch.
What's a Nebuch?
The king is such a...
What's a Nebuch?
Such a Nebuch.
What's
a Nebuch? A Nebuch is like a helpless person. He's so helpless. He
one cannot move so much.
That's all he can do. Malchus. David HaMelech. It's a Gibor. Okay, you want to talk about the second Trump? Look at the power of the presidency. A melech is a melech. What kind of nonsense is this? Nonsense. He's such a coward. He's such a coward, the king. He has to hide it behind all of the pawns and the knights and the queen has to hold him up there. What kind of nonsense is this? Zutaira? Malchus. The melech is everything. In Jewish war, the Gibarim, they go in front. The weak people go in the back. What?
Do you remember the time?
Number two is, what's this with the Noshim over here? With the queen? What's with the queen over here? Unlimited power. Kol kivuda bas melech kanima. This is a Yiddish Shemedel? She has the koyach to conquer the world in one shot? Tzniyos! Kol kevuda bas melech penina! What's going on over here? So something is wrong. There's something wrong about chess. It's a gewaltige game, don't get me wrong over here. But L'chaira, the king appears to be such a nebuch and hides behind everyone else, and he needs, and the queen is just openly so powerful. If I'm the women, we know women rule the world. No one's denying that to be the fact. But the whole game is built. Something appears to be wrong. The legend, I'll include you, and no one can prove this, is that Shlomo HaMelech invented chess. Is that true? And he was, not only did he invent it, he was obsessed with it. They say that he was obsessed with chess. Is that true? I don't know. No one knows. One other thing is a very famous story, which is a very moving story. It's supposedly a true story about one of the popes. There was a pope who loved chess. And people would come and they would invite people. And there was a story where the Pope was a big rabbi. I don't know the details, but you have to search on Google to find the source and how the story goes exactly. But it seems to be a true documented story. Is where there was a Pope. I had a meeting with a respected rabbi. And in the conversation, they said, You know what? Let's play a game of chess. And this rabbi, they played chess, and the rabbi, he made a move that was very unique. And the Pope was taken aback. And the Pope said, "No, so how did you know how to do that, that whole technique?" So the Pope then realized the Pope was abducted as a child. The Pope was really Jewish, a Jewish child. And like part of the Crusades, during the time that there were 10 Crusades, which went on for 300 years, they chapped Jewish children. And the Jewish children, they became the Gedolim among Cardinal O'Connor. It was Jewish. It's shocking. It's unbelievably shocking. We know for a fact now that his mother was Jewish. We know for a fact that Cardinal O'Connor's mother was Jewish. Shocking. It's a Yid. This is a Yid that became a bishop. He became a cardinal. And if he would have lived, is a very, very high possibility he would have been the Pope. He was the most distinguished people of the cardinals. You're right. So this person, this Pope, he became the Pope, and he was really a Yiddish child that was abducted by the Christians. And this person who came to visit him, unbeknown to everyone, was his father. And through a game of chess, when the Pope saw, "How did you know how to do that? My father taught me that move. You must be my father." And he was. And the Pope secretly disappeared. He disappeared. He went back. That's the story. Do I have for you the names? No. But I've heard this story. I remember reading the story. This is an authentic story, and it's documented, and it has to be studied. Haladavar, you see, there's something in Hashkocha. It's not for nothing that you have from the greatest people. Babacher Rebbe was a great person. Okay, nothing to talk about. Goyim, a gadol, the Yisrael. He's playing chess. Okay, he's playing chess with his father-in-law. Haloy Dover. It's not something to take lightly. There's something about this game which has intrigued some of the Gedolim of Klal Yisrael.
The father can't teach this to his kids. He can't teach his kids chess.
Can teach.
Got that.